We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." It's a very interesting passage here. We oftentimes look at the latter part of this in the next verse. But this says, let us consider one another. Let us think about our brothers and sisters in Christ in order to stir each other up, in order to promote good works and love in our brethren. But the lesson today is dealing with an area in which we're lacking. And it comes down to this, and it's what I'm going to talk about today. It relates to the subject of attendance. There is a big difference between Sunday morning attendance and Sunday night attendance, and an even greater gap if you look at Wednesday night. I went back this last week and looked at the attendance. I believe the attendance this last Sunday morning was 111. I think it was 84 in the evening, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't write it down, but it was a difference of 26%. We had had a 26% drop from the morning till the evening. Now, somebody might say, well, if you compare that to some other congregations, that's pretty good. But you know, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to other congregations. We're supposed to compare ourselves to the Lord and to the Bible to see what the Lord has to say. The Sunday before that, we had 120 in the morning, 95 in the evening. That means a 21% drop. The same thing is true in relation to Wednesday night attendance, a tremendous drop there. In fact, this last week, the difference in Sunday morning and Wednesday night, there was a 40% decrease in attendance. And we need to change that. Now, I recognize the fact that there are some reasons. I know that there are some things that keep people from going out at night. I understand that there's illness. There are some things that are beyond our control. Some people have health issues that they can't help. And I understand that. The Lord understands that. But I'm talking about things that are within our control. Every time we talk about attendance, there are some people who always say, well, you know, there are some elderly people and they've got problems and they can't get out at night. That's not the people we're talking about. And oftentimes, that's a small percentage of the number that's being considered here. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I come pretty good. I come some. Isn't that good enough? May I suggest to you that we don't believe that or we don't practice that with reference to most of the affairs of our life? I mean, absenteeism. You think about your job. They expect you to be there. And only with a very good reason are you going to be excused from being at work. And even in some cases, absence from work, even with a good reason, isn't going to be acceptable because some jobs demand that you be there. And if you can't be there, even because of illness, then you can't have that job. Your presence is something on which they insist. You think about school. Absenteeism is just not something that's going to be pushed aside. They're very serious about students being in school. I don't remember what it was, but when I was a student here in Charleston County, I think it was 10 or 20 days, something. I've forgotten the number, but after a certain number of days, you have to repeat the school year if you miss a certain number of days because they assume if you haven't been there, you haven't gotten the needed education. You think about civic organizations. Attendance is one of the requirements to being a part of that organization. And we understand that with reference to these secular areas. But when we talk about the church, we feel like that's different. Brethren, it's not different. It's not different. In fact, may I suggest to you that what we are doing here this morning ought to be sacred. It ought to be really sacred. How many things in your life would you consider really sacred? What we are doing here this morning is worshiping God. And I want to ask you this question. If you knew that today was going to be your last day, how would you feel? How would you feel about being at worship today if you knew today is going to be your last day alive? If you knew that tomorrow people would be assembling at the funeral home, and I'm not trying to be morbid here, but if you knew that people were assembling at the funeral home tomorrow for you, how important would it be to you to be at worship today? May I suggest to you that our worship to God ought to be sacred. And that's the way it ought to be for us every time. What I'm talking about today is faithful attendance to the assembly. Now, I was going to preach on attendance one time, and somebody suggested to me, maybe you shouldn't preach on that. You know, that offends people. Maybe you shouldn't do that. But I disagree. Because anything that hurts someone spiritually, anything that can cause a person to be lost, is something we need to talk about because we don't want that to happen. And the Holy Spirit talked about that, and the Apostle Paul talked about that. Our scripture reading this morning deals with that. And a preacher who doesn't preach the whole counsel of God is going to be held accountable for that. All right, our scripture text this morning is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where the Bible says, consider one another to provoke one another That means to promote, not to provoke in the sense of agitating, but to motivate one another unto love and to good works. How? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, as the habit of some people is, he says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says it is a sin. Absenteeism is a sin. And there are seven reasons I want to suggest to you why that is the case this morning. Number one, absenteeism is a sin because first, it shows contempt for the Lord. Now somebody says, what? That's a strong word. It shows contempt for the Lord. Are you sure that's the word you want to use? Let me illustrate this. Let me demonstrate to you what I mean. Let's suppose that you and I have a lunch date scheduled. And let's say that we say at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to meet at such and such restaurant to eat together. And that day comes and I just don't show up. And let's say that you see me later and you say, well, why weren't you there? And I say, well, I didn't really have any particular reason, you know, no big excuse. I just chose to do something else. What would you think about the way I felt towards you? Or let's suppose that we had three appointments each week to meet together. I don't mean some broad thing like, hey, let's do a lunch sometime, but specific places, specific appointments, specific times. And two out of those three times, I just don't show up. What would you think my opinion of you was? You would think, well, he obviously doesn't think very much about me. Two out of three times we schedule to meet, he doesn't even show up. And sometimes people will say, do I really have to come to all of the assemblies of the church? I mean, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let me ask it this way. Let's suppose that a man asks you this question. Do I really have to go home to my family every night? Do I have to do that every night? Where is there a law that says I have to go home to my family every night? And the answer is, there's not a law that says I have to go home to my family every night. But a man who chooses not to go home to his wife and to his children just because he chooses not to shows contempt for his family. He shows contempt for his role as a husband and as a daddy. And a person who chooses not to faithfully attend the service of the church is really saying, I don't love the Lord very much. I don't have to have a law to make me come to worship. And if I do feel like I have to have a law, then there's something spiritually wrong with me. I should come because I love the Lord. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I don't think Sunday night and Wednesday night attendance is really that important. I could hardly believe what I was hearing. I was shocked to hear him say this. Friends, the fact of the matter is, a person who chooses not to attend when he really could attend is showing the signs of a deeper spiritual problem. He's showing that he doesn't love the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his mind, with all of his soul. And the Lord said, that's the greatest commandment. Now, is this important? Is this an important subject? Souls hang in the balance here. This is important. Number one, absenteeism is a sin because it shows contempt for the Lord. It shows, I've got something more important to do. Number two, absenteeism is a sin because it is a failure to do a known good. It is a failure to do that which we know to be good. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you know the funny thing about this is no one would dispute the fact that coming to all the services of the church is a good thing. Nobody would argue about that. I think people who aren't even, quote, church-going people, if you ask them the question, do you think that going to all the services of the church is a good thing? I think they would say yes, it's a good thing. And certainly those of us who love the Bible, whether or not we're faithful in our attendance or not, would still say yes, it's a good thing to faithfully attend all the services of the church. Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it's a good thing. Gospel meetings, yes, it's a good thing. Absenteeism is a sin because it's a failure to do a known good. Number three, absenteeism is a sin because it is disobedience to a plain command of God. A plain command of God. And what I mean by this is there's no ambiguity in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. He says some people have that habit. Even in Paul's day, he said some people had the habit of forsaking the assembly. He says, don't do that. If you do that, you are sinning. I know of a couple who at some point in their lives, they decided we're going to do Sunday morning only. That's it. They made that decision. They said we're not going to do Sunday night, we're not going to do Wednesday nights, we're just going to do Sunday morning only. And that was their habit for decades. And the Lord said, when you do that, you're sinning. That's the habit of some people. But you know, some folks, when it comes to their Christianity, and their Christian living, they have the idea that it's optional. Brethren, there are some things in Christianity that are optional. Some things are matters of opinion. What time we meet on the Lord's Day, that's optional. It would be perfectly okay for us to meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter. As long as we meet on the Lord's Day, it's an optional thing. The elders decide what's the best time, the most convenient time, the most accommodative time, and we do it. Whether or not we meet in a church building, that is an optional thing. We could meet in somebody's house. We could meet in a hospital. We could meet under an oak tree. We don't even have to have a building. That's an optional thing. These are matters that are opinion. They're in the realm of judgment. But there are other things that are not optional. And with reference to our attendance, this is a very specific negative command from the Lord. He said, "Thou shalt not do this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." And whether or not we view it as an optional thing doesn't change the fact that it is a direct command from God. I want you to think about this. Think about some people who are lined up for a race. And they have crouched down in their position, they've got their shoes down, and they've got their running stance. And just before the judge fires the pistol, one of the men just takes off running. And the judge stops him and says, "Don't you know the rules? You can't take off until the gun's been fired." And he says, "I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway." He's in direct violation to the rules. And with reference to the commands of God, those who choose to forsake the assembly are in direct violation to what God has said to do. Now, in reference to Christian living, I want to observe this direct command from God. It is a command from God. If I choose not to do it, I'm essentially shaking my fist in the face of God. You know, in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 21, Jesus tells a parable about a man who made a great feast for his friends. But when the feast day came, his friends began to make excuse on why they weren't going to come. And one man says, "I bought a piece of land and I believe I need to go out and see the land. Pray have me excused." And the second person said, "Well, you know, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and test my oxen to see if they can work. So pray have me excused." And then the third one, he's very abrupt about it. He doesn't even say, "Pray have me excused." He just said, "I've married a wife. I can't come." Well, the householder, the Bible says that the householder replaced those guests with others. And he sent out his servants to bring people from the highways and the byways. And the point of the parable is the people who made excuse did not get to eat of the supper. They did not partake of the Lord's blessings here. Now, there's a different application to that, but the principle that I want you to get out of this is that God is not in the excuse collecting business. With reference to His direct commands, the Lord's not accepting excuses. If I'm going to live the faithful life of a Christian, part of it involves faithful attendance at the assembly. And to do something other than that is to be in direct violation of the will of God. Number 4, absenteeism is a sin because it's a failure to give and to receive needed encouragement. Now listen to this. This is so important. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the first verse I gave you in the Scripture in this sermon said, "Consider one another." That's how it begins. Consider one another. Let's do that right now. Consider one another. My attendance is not just about me. The Lord says, consider the people around you. Consider the people around you to provoke them, to motivate them to good works. How do I do that, Paul? The next verse says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says, the way that I consider one another, the way that I help promote good works and love in my brethren is by being here. You know, when you look at this passage, right now, what it is teaching us is that you, right now, as you're sitting in these pews, you are actively involved in encouraging the people that are around you. That's what you're doing right now. Now, you might say, "Well, I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing anything." But you're worshiping God. And in doing that, by your presence, by your love and your concern for the Lord, you are encouraging the people around you. When we sing songs, we are worshiping God. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians 3:16 says you're also encouraging your brethren. You're teaching your brethren. And you are doing that right now. How would you like to encourage people to not come to services? How would you like to do that? To just go out and say, "How about don't come to services on Sunday night?" Now you might say, "I would never do that. None of us would think of doing that. We would never go out and say, 'Please don't come on Wednesday night. Please don't come on Sunday night. Bible class is not important.' Don't do that." But I want you to think about the implication of this passage. I don't believe any of us would directly say, please don't come to services. But you know what? Just as it is the case that by our presence we encourage, by our absence we discourage. We discourage people when we do not come, when we choose not to be here. And I'm not talking about things beyond our control. Sometimes I talk about attendance and people come to me and say, well, you know, I was sick, there was nothing I could do. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who choose not to come. I mean, you make a choice. When we make that choice, we discourage people. And we're not, because they are not and we are not, receiving the needed encouragement. You know, I have been to services at times when hardly anybody was there. Have you ever been to a service like that? You show up and there's just almost nobody there. What kind of effect does that have on you? It really pulls you down. It's very discouraging. Sometimes I've left feeling like Elijah, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 19 when he said, I only am left. You feel very discouraged. And you remember how Elijah was so discouraged because he felt like he was all alone. He didn't have the encouragement. Of course, the Lord told him there are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal that you don't know about. But you know, this works the other way too. Because when you come to worship and everybody is there, boy, what an encouragement that is. I know when we were in North Carolina, on one occasion, there was a Wednesday night, we had an extremely large crowd in attendance. And one of the members said that they drove up and there were cars everywhere and they had to park farther out. And they said they were just so encouraged. They were so uplifted by that. I remember the very first day we were here in this building that I preached here, which would have been about 6 or 7 weeks ago. We had, I think, 130, 131 people, something like that morning. And it was very full in here. And it was so encouraging to see people who wanted to be here, who wanted to worship the Lord. Brethren, we encourage by our presence and we discourage by our absence. Have you ever thought about the question, why did the Lord make Christianity a group activity? I mean, why did He do that? You ever thought about that? Why didn't He just save us from our sins and then we're all islands when we go our own way and we do our own thing and we don't have any interaction and we're not really tied together? Why did He make it a group thing so that He said, I want you to assemble and I want you to eat the Lord's Supper together and I want you to sing together and pray together? Why did He do that? He did that because He knew we need that. We need encouragement. You know, you get out in the work week and you're at work and you're with people who are worldly and they're not Christians and they don't care about the Lord and they don't care about doing right. They don't care about their families being the way they should. We need to be with people of like precious faith and kindred spirits, people who love each other and who love the Lord. And that's the way He set it up. Number five, absenteeism is a sin because it contributes to ignorance. You know, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, in order to go to heaven, I have to know the Lord's will, and I've got to know how to do the Lord's will. And when we come together and we listen to preaching and we go to Bible classes, let's suppose, and I certainly hope this is true if you're attentive, but let's suppose that you learn at least one thing. Each time you come to a Bible class or each time you come to a worship service, I hope it's a lot more than just one, but let's just say one. And let's say that you do this for 10 years. If this is true, a man who comes Sunday morning only for 10 years will have learned 520 pieces of information. But let's say that you take another person who attends Sunday morning class, he comes Sunday morning service, he comes Sunday night, he comes Wednesday night. At the end of that time, this man will have learned 2,080 things, about four times as much as the person who comes Sunday morning only. Do you think there's going to be any difference in those two people spiritually? Do you suppose that there's going to be a difference in their spiritual strength and the way that they present themselves before God? Of course there is. Of course there's going to be a difference. And which one would you rather be as you present yourself before God Almighty? The one with the lesser amount of information or the one with more? All right, here's number six. And I want you to listen really closely to this one. Absenteeism is a sin because it dilutes your efforts to rear your children to be faithful Christians. It waters down your efforts to teach your children. Now, somebody says, preacher, why are you putting so much emphasis on coming to worship? Don't you know that Christian living is more than just coming to worship? Of course it is. Of course it is. I know that to be true. But let me tell you something. I don't know of any other act of Christianity in which we engage, in which we more tangibly demonstrate that we love the Lord than by our faithful attendance. And when parents skip services for the activities of the world, they are teaching their children a lesson in priorities. They are teaching their children that sometimes there are some things more important than the Lord. And somebody says, but it's a championship game, don't you understand? And my boy, he's the best hitter on the team. And you may go and you may win that game, but you have lost one that is far more important. You have lost a spiritual battle that's going to impact him later in life because you taught your child a lesson that when it comes to secular activities, sometimes there are things more important than the Lord. Now somebody says, now don't you know that means I'm going to have to make some sacrifices? Of course you're going to have to make sacrifices. That's right. The Lord's business involves... who ever heard of sacrificing for the Lord? The Lord's business involves sacrificing. I'm going to have to make sacrifices to be there. Somebody says, but I have other things that come up. All of us do. All of us could think of excuses probably half the time for some reason not to be here. You know, it's getting warm and pretty soon kids are going to be playing sports. And I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with sports. But we should never let sports activities come before the service of the Lord. And it may be that Christian parents need to go to the coach at the beginning of the season and say, look, we want our kids to play, but I'll tell you what, we're Christians first, and Sunday and Wednesday and gospel meetings, we're going to be at the worship service of the Lord. And we'll be there right up until worship, but then we've got to leave. And it may be you need to bring your son to services wearing his baseball uniform. I've seen people do that. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's encouraging. You see, the boy, it's services in his baseball uniform. You know, he's involved in sports, but his parents got him here to services, and they taught him a lesson about priorities. They taught him what really matters. Now, parents may say, well, you know, we have our children there most of the time, except when they've got a lot of homework, or except when there's a big game, or except when there's such and such activity. Let me ask you something. When it comes to living their lives, and your children are grown and they're adults, when they are making decisions about being faithful to the Lord, how often do you think there are going to be some pretty big things that are going to come up? How often are they going to have to make decisions about choosing the Lord over activities of the world? How often are sporting events going to be there? How often are they going to be really tired? And they may forsake the assembly because you groomed them for that. Brethren, when we make a decision about bringing our young people to services, we are teaching them a very, very important lesson in priorities, and that is the Lord first or is something else first? We need to teach them now to obey the Lord even when there are obstacles. Because parents, you will not raise your children to be faithful, solid Christians by teaching them that it's okay to forsake the assembly sometimes. Number 7, here's the last point, and it's a very brief one. And that is this. It is a direct sin against God to forsake the assembly. Now, it's true that when you forsake the assembly, you sin against your brethren. Now, we've already talked about that some. But it's more than that. It is a direct sin against God. Because when I forsake the assembly, essentially what I have said is, God, I have something more important to do. Brethren, the Bible teaches that assembling with the brethren is needed for our edification, for our encouragement. It is something that we need to offer to God. It's something that we do that strengthens our children. It says something about our priorities, and it in a very tangible way demonstrates our heartfelt love for the Father. I think we should make it a conscious goal to try to have as many folks here on Sunday evening as we do on Sunday morning. And somebody may say, well, you know, we have visitors on Sunday morning, and that's why our numbers are sometimes higher. Let's work harder to get visitors here on Sunday night then. You know, sometimes all you've got to do is ask. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been faithful in your attendance. You know, that really is a symptom of a bigger problem. And that problem is that you don't love the Lord with all of your heart. And it is a condition that can cost you your soul. So won't you make it right? This morning we're not trying to beat anyone up or pick on anyone or try to make anyone's life hard. We're simply saying this is what the Lord requires of us and this is what we need. And if we don't do it, it could cost us eternally. Let's not let that be the case. Let's let our love for the Lord be exactly what it should be and motivate us to serve Him exactly as we should serve Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to know how to become one. That's by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins.